What's going on, Eagles Nation? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on? Lou DiBiase joining you once again alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. Today is Tuesday, September 18th. Gino, what's going on, my man?
Nothing, man. Just riding this roller coaster that we call Eagles Twitter. It's been a hell of a last 48 hours, really, from the low of losing that game against the Bucks, and then Carson Wentz getting cleared to play Sunday, and then finding out that Jordan Matthews might be back with us. So
exactly,
it's been wild.
Yeah, that's what's going to be the main basis of our show today. It looks like Jordan Matthews might be coming back to the Eagles. And yeah, Gino, you're right. I mean, Eagles Twitter is a rare breed, and I guess you take the good with the bad. It's always an entertaining ride with them on Twitter, so I do enjoy it. But the takes have been crazy, so we'll get into that coming up on the show. We'll talk about Jordan Matthews being spotted at the NovaCare Complex. Some media members did confirm that he had a workout with the Eagles today. Jordan Matthews, as most people know, second-round pick for the Eagles in 2014, played three seasons with the Eagles, had some good numbers. So again, we'll get into the potential of him returning with the Birds and some injury updates as well, and maybe we'll get into a little of the Jim Schwartz press conference if we can later on down the road of the show, because I do have a bone to pick with the media, how they handled that. So that's all coming up right here for you on the Locked On Eagles podcast, and you know, you can check out the show, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, anywhere you find the podcast, we're up and available, as well as LockedOnEagles.com. Myself and Gino are going to continue to get some written work up there as well as the podcast. So we're excited about the content we're producing for you right here on the Locked On Eagles Network, and we're going to continue with that. And Gino, it's crazy. If you were to tell me that all of this was going to happen 2 days after the loss against Tampa Bay, I mean, I haven't really thought about the loss since that day we did the recap show. I mean, there's just been so much news about the Birds with, like you said, Carson Wentz coming back with, I mean, yesterday, it wasn't just now that potentially the news today is that Jordan Matthews might be back, but yesterday we were speculating about it is, oh, could Jeremy Maclin be coming back? Josh Gordon wasn't yet traded to the New England Patriots, so that big news kind of had a lot to do with the Eagles, because you saw it, Vegas put the Eagles as the favorites to land Josh Gordon yesterday before the 4 p.m. deadline. So we were speculating, are the Eagles about to land Josh Gordon? So there's been a lot of storylines, and it's really helped kind of get over the first real important Eagles loss that they've had since week 12 of last season.
Yeah, Carson Wentz getting cleared is huge news, and I don't care who's playing wide receiver this Sunday. The fact that he's on the field is going to make this team exponentially better. I don't care what anybody says. The link is going to be as loud as it's ever been, maybe the loudest since that Patrick Robinson interception in the NFC Championship. But things are kind of wild. This has been a crazy. You thought we almost might have landed Josh Gordon, put in a pass-catching option there with the news of Mike Wallace going out, and now we might have a familiar face in Jordan Matthews coming through the doors again. And it's just been a wild ride, and it's kind of crazy. And we forgot about Josh Adams getting called up to the main roster. There's so much going on for
Tuesday. All offseason.
Yeah. it's great. I like that sign. There's a lot of roster management that is kind of questionable right now, but I like that we're in a good direction, I feel.
I agree with you, and let's get into it. So, you know, the big story today is that former Philadelphia Eagle wide receiver Jordan Matthews, part of that blockbuster trade last summer that sent Matthews and a third-round pick to the Buffalo Bills for Ronald Darby, he was spotted today at the NovaCare Complex working out with the Philadelphia Eagles. He had a smoothie in his hand, Gino, so he's taking advantage of the Chip Kelly era still.
Oh yeah,
not only because of the inflated numbers was he taking advantage of that, hoping for a big payday that never came, but he's taking advantage still of the smoothie machine as well.
Yeah, let's hope they're not tracking their sleeping patterns and stuff like Chip. Right. No more micromanaging. But yeah, that was kind of funny. That was a little throwback to
it was fun.
2015,
It was just a massive throwback today with all these, just not because of Matthews, but the minute they said he was walking out with a smoothie, I'm like, of course he was. I mean, he was one of Chip Kelly's guys. So it was cool. But, you know, again, yesterday on the podcast, I was talking about, you've seen the tweets the past couple days. I've been on the Maclin train. I wanted to see a reunion of some sorts, because not only I think it makes sense for the team because of the speed factor, because they need a wide receiver, but For the past few years, we've seen over and over again rumors of, could DeSean Jackson be coming back to the Eagles? Could LeSean McCoy? Is Jeremy Maclin interested? And the Eagles have already been interested in Jeremy Maclin twice since he's left as a possible reunion. So I'm thinking, I just want to see it from a fan perspective growing up watching these guys. I think it would be cool to see one of them back. So it was really Maclin for me that I was keened on. If they weren't going after Josh Gordon, I was certain that they were going to sign Jeremy Maclin based on Peterson saying they wanted a veteran that knew the playbook and could come in and play right away. And I'm thinking, well, the Eagles already showed interest in Maclin before they signed Mike Wallace. It makes a lot of sense. He's a fast receiver that can play on the outside and in the slot. So that was the move that I was really in favor of, but, I also mentioned, I threw it up on the poll, no one voted for him, and that makes perfect sense now after the Twitter reaction, but Jordan Matthews is a guy that really fits the bill that Doug Peterson was describing as well. He is a guy that played for Doug Peterson in his first year with the Eagles. He helped, develop Carson Wentz. He helped, he grew a great chemistry with Carson Wentz, and I think he was one of the main reasons that Wentz had any success in the passing game because of how bad the weapons were in 2016. And it looks like the Eagles prefer Jordan Matthews right now. And again, it makes sense. And if he's healthy, he has great chemistry with Wentz. I think it's fitting that Jordan Matthews would be there for Carson Wentz right when he's coming back off his injury to help, knock off the rust instead of having to rely on guys like Kamar Aiken and Shelton Gibson. I think it's very fitting that Jordan Matthews was the first guy to be there with Carson Wentz on the field thriving against the Cleveland Browns as Carson Wentz threw his first passing touchdown ever in the NFL to Jordan Matthews. I think it's very fitting now that 2 years later, Carson Wentz is coming off a torn ACL after a historic season, and to help him get back into it, Jordan Matthews is there. I think it's a cool story.
Kind of shocked Doriel Green Beckham wasn't on the radar. Come on, if we're going
to
have
Josh unions. Huff either?
Oh, man, yeah. That's another name to throw out there. But I think it's very fitting that Jordan Matthews was the guy they called. He's one of Carson Wentz's best friends, and that's been well documented. And you're in week two of the NFL season. I mean, outside of the rare case of a Josh Gordon, teams aren't inclined to move guys in week two. I mean, who really thinks they're out of the playoffs right now besides maybe the Buffalo Bills and Arizona Cardinals? But you're not going to find a game changer such as Josh Gordon in week two. I mean, Patriots got him. That's said and done. But it's Tuesday. You got 5 days before the game. Who is the most familiar person with the offense? Do you want to bring back Marcus Wheaton? We all saw what he did. It was nothing impressive. Why not give Jordan Matthews a chance? I mean, Bill Belichick was inclined to take a shot on him, and he just didn't fit the scheme. And you really can't look at his time in Buffalo because he had Tyrod Taylor thrown to him, and he was hampered by injuries. So it's really a mystery, but are we really going to continue to rely on Kamar Aiken to take a majority of the snaps? And now that DeAndre Carter's gone, you have Shelton Gibson and Nelson Agholor as your other two receivers, and Shelton really hasn't done anything this season, so you really have to try something. And we were just complaining about Jim Schwartz not making adjustments with his defense in this Tampa game. Well, we're not going to run with the same wide receivers we did last game and not have any success, so let's try and change it up. So I kind of applaud them for taking a shot. So who really knows? We could see big things out of Jordan, and we'll get into the whole semantics of it coming up with his play style and how things are going to change, but I think it's worth a shot. I don't think it's a bad move by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm glad they just took a shot. I would have been more aggravated if what Jeff McClain said was true, that he doesn't expect the Eagles to go for a wide receiver this week and they just go in next week with Nelson Agholor, Shelton Gibson, and Kamar Aiken. That's just a recipe for disaster, especially considering Doug Peterson talked about it. 12 personnel is something I want to see more. I do want to see them use Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert on the field together more often, but you can't go in when Doug Peterson loves running 11 personnel, keeping the defense in nickel so it's easier to run against them, keep them in a smaller lineup, and have more speed out on the field for the offense. It's going to be very difficult to do those kind of things when you really only have one wide receiver that has a proven track record in the NFL in Nelson Agholor, So they had to do something, and that's why I don't understand the backlash from fans on Twitter. I get that, I always thought he was a limited player. I thought his numbers were inflated because of Chip Kelly's offense, because there were no weapons, and because there were no weapons, Sam Bradford had to rely on him extra, and so did Carson Wentz. And also, Sam Bradford helped inflate Matthews' numbers because he liked to throw short of the stick. He liked throwing it underneath, and that's really where Jordan Matthews lived. So, it doesn't Again, I don't understand the backlash. I didn't want him as the Eagles' number one wide receiver. If he was going to cash in, like I thought he was going to get a deal that he was going to, because his numbers kind of showed a low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two. I didn't want to pay him for that, but we're talking about a guy that right now, yeah, he might have a big impact this week against the Colts, as he'd be your number two wide receiver, probably your third passing option with Sproles likely out. You know, no Alshon Jeffrey, no Mike Wallace. So you have Aguilar and Ertz and then Jordan Matthews. But eventually, Geno, he's going to be when Alshon comes back, he's going to be at best your fourth passing option, maybe fifth with Sproles, if we're counting eventually the unleashing of Dallas Goedert, which I do expect eventually him to get used a lot more. This is a guy that might be your fourth, fifth, or sixth receiving option, and that's not even talking about when Mike Wallace might come back. Everyone's freaking out. When Mike Wallace comes back, and say Aguilar does struggle on the outside, which I don't see it happening, it's not like you have to keep Matthews on the field. It's not like you're married to the guy to the point where you invested a lot of money in him, and because he's on the field, well, no, we can't do this with Aguilar now, or we can't do this with, you know, insert name here. It's just, it's a kick on the tires on a guy that we're extremely lucky to find on the streets that has a proven tracker like this, and a disastrous start health-wise to this offense's start to the 2018 season. I mean, I think it's a great move bringing in a guy with a proven track record like this, and again, I don't want him as my number one, but I'm shocked at the backlash of this move. It's really a low-risk, high-reward type of thing that helps Wentz knock off the rust, and it gives the Eagles more weapons.
Yeah, and I just want you and everybody else to just take a second. And outside of the season when he had Jeremy Maclin as his number one, where he put up 872 yards as a rookie, that's impressive. When he had a number one receiver on the outside. But when he didn't, who was the number one receiver in his offense? For 1 year, it was him. The next year, it was him again in Buffalo, and it was him again. So he's had to take on a role that is not his role. And you've seen that with players, that when they have to take on roles that aren't their role, how they do. We've seen that with Nelson Aguilar. So we're not looking outside of the scope of Philadelphia at what happens when people play outside of the scope of their respective position. We see it right in house. So if you bring back Jordan Matthews, yeah, maybe he has to take a little more responsibility this week than we would like to have over the entire course of the season. When Alshon Jeffrey comes back, Matthews is going to sit back and do a number 2-3 role. I mean, Aguilar's arguably a number one receiver at the moment. So when Hollins comes back, he might be the number four. And when Wallace comes back, he might be a number five. That's
it's not like
a
we're
bad
relying
number.
On him in any way.
Yeah, no, and you know that he is not a number one receiver. And a thing I have with this is we gave Jordan all the chances in the world to play outside, but Nelson had one bad year outside, and we're going to say he can never play outside again.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Why? That's quite the double standard. And after going over the tape of the first two games, Nelson has lined up outside plenty of times, and his route tree has improved exponentially from his first couple years in the league. His quickness, his agility has improved. You've seen how he plays on tape compared to a couple years ago. You see how he is in space now. His routes are crisp. He catches nearly everything. You wouldn't have said that a couple years ago. I'm fine with this, and it's not like Nelson is never going to be inside anymore. Doug knows how to game plan and get the best out of his guys. I mean, i.e. Dallas Goedert, forgot about him last game, but going forward, let's hope that changes. But
yeah.
I'm confident in that you can get good reps out of him, and let Shelton Gibson keep being the guy that takes the top off. Let Nelson, let Jordan work underneath. Let the tight ends work underneath. Now that you have weapons, something that Jordan Matthews has never had outside of the first year with Jeremy Maclin, where he succeeded, he is probably going to be comfortable in a role catching passes from a guy who's his best friend, that you know he's going to be crisp on timing, crisp on getting the ball there on time. He has decent hands. I don't think it's a bad move at all. And I just...
No, I don't either.
What is your argument? Are you going to keep arguing that Kamar Aiken is going to be your number two outside receiver? I do not think so. In no realm, no way, shape, or form should Kamar Aiken be a number two wide receiver in this league. unless he plays for the Buffalo Bills, but that's a different story. These are your Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. If you have to take a shot on somebody, take a shot. You've seen it with other successful teams in the past with the Patriots, and they take shots on guys. You just have to take a shot sometimes. It's not like they're going all in. This is a minimal risk move that has the potential to have a high ceiling that can really pay off for them.
And I think part of it, too, why people don't like it is that they really do like Aguilar inside. And I'm one of those guys. Matthews, you know, people that are taking it to the extreme are almost making me defend a move that, you know, I'm for. I like the move. I like that they went out and got someone like you said. But it wouldn't have been my choice. I probably would have went after a Jeremy Maclin or somebody else. I probably would have kicked the tires on a Josh Gordon trade. I probably would have ended up doing what New England did. I probably would have took that risk. But, again, it's a wide receiver that is just, he's not going to have a huge role. And it's just, he's reliable. And that's what you need right now. We can get, I mean, who's going to play slot? Who's going to play outside? Those are all semantics we can get into down the road. But right now, we just need pass catchers that aren't Kamar Aiken or Shelton Gibson for Carson Wentz right now. It's still all about Carson Wentz, and we need him to knock that rust off and get going. And I trust Aguilar to be a baller all over the field now. Do I want him inside most of the, you know, more so than outside? Yeah, because I think he's elite inside. But I think he can be a number one wide receiver on the outside too. And I think that I don't think we have to worry about a relapse from Aguilar anymore. Where last year I'm like, no, let's keep him in the inside. Let's keep that rapport. Let's keep that psyche going inside because he's making plays there. But now I trust him to go 4-4 so that if Matthews has to play in the slot and Aguilar plays on the outside, then we go with that. And you know what? If Aguilar struggles, then just because Jordan Matthews is in there, I don't care. Nelson Aguilar means more to the future of this team. I'm pushing him back inside, and I'm making it work on the outside. There's times Ertz can play on the outside. We'll see if Mac Hollins or Mike Wallace come back. But that's the thing, too, is like there can be times where Matthews and Aguilar are inside, and you split out wide Dallas Goedert or Zach Ertz. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Aguilar's still going to get reps inside. We can have the best of both worlds. I just think people on Twitter don't really see it that way. So we're going to continue our Jordan Matthews talk right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. But, you know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's on what team to bet this week. And, look, the truth is I don't know who's going to win. I picked Tampa Bay to go 0-2 to start. No one, including me, saw Fitzmagic coming. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. Join now, and my bookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer and visit my bookie online today. That's my bookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. And we thank MyBookie for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, guys, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast covering the Jordan Matthews news, Ludy Biasi, Gino Camilleri. And, Gino, let's get right back into it because, you know, we were talking about it, how the reaction so far has been pretty surprising. And I think people just really need to calm down about it. And I love the move. And, again, as a reunion thing, it wasn't the reunion I wanted, but I think it's exciting. And it's a player that, you know, you has a proven track record and you need right now. My question to you, though, I think the most important part of all of this, Kamar Aiken is wearing number 81 right now. I didn't get any feedback about this on Twitter. I just posted it. Kamar Aiken's wearing number 81. Jordan Matthews' number at Vanderbilt was 87. That's what he wore with the Buffalo Bills. Brent Celek was number 87. What are we doing there with the number? This is the big story here in this whole story.
Well, first off, just a quick breaking news. Jeff Mosher of Inside the Birds, and he does some freelance work. He says that Jordan Matthews was the only player that the Eagles worked out today. So it looks like he. I'm going to go with about a 96% chance if that MRI works out that he is the guy. But change up the number. Let's change up the mojo a little bit. It's a new regime. Let's not go backwards in time to the Chip Kelly days. Change it up a little bit. Let's get this good juju going. Carson's going to be coming back on the field. A new revitalized Jordan Matthews is going to be coming back, and the winds of change are blowing, so we'll see what happens.
You know, it's just a cool story, and again, is it ideal for Aguilar inside? No, because Jordan Matthews, I don't trust to play at wideout on the outside, but I trust Doug Peterson as a game planner. You know, there's going to be times where Jordan Matthews isn't even on the field, and you have when, and I'm more talking about when Alshon Jeffrey comes back, because this week he's probably going to play a lot against the Colts, but when Alshon Jeffrey comes back, there's going to be packages where you have Alshon on the outside, you have one of the tight ends on the outside, one of the other tight ends at tight end, and then Aguilar inside. So people that are scared about Aguilar not getting slot reps still because of Jordan Matthews coming in, just Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, relax. It's going to be fine. It just gives the Eagles and Carson Wentz another weapon right now to make plays while they wait for the health of this offense to get back. And it's just, they're so depleted right now that adding a Jordan Matthews is a great move right now, and I'm excited about it. I had to, you know, at first talk myself into it because, you know, Jeremy Maclin was a guy that I was really set on, but I'm good with Jordan Matthews coming in. And again, you know, it's a great story. This was a player that was pretty much the go-to guy in the Eagles passing games. You know, some thought he was going to cash in a free agency. He ends up getting traded the year the Eagles win the Super Bowl. He's so close with Carson Wentz and some of the players. They were devastated. He was devastated. He goes to the Buffalo Bills, doesn't really have a big impact, gets injured. The Bills do make the playoffs, but he wasn't really a big part of that. Then he goes to New England, and he gets cut. So, you know, it was quite the fall for Jordan Matthews. And the fact that he gets to come back now, probably is going to be with the team throughout the season. We don't know the long-term health of Mike Wallace and Matt Collins right now, so they might need Matthews as the third receiver throughout the year. I think it's a great story, and it's a great redemption story for Matthews.
I think it's great. I loved Jordan Matthews. I was huge on him ever since we drafted him at Vanderbilt. When I saw Todd McShay start posting videos of him and him rising up his big board, I fell in love with him. You know that he's not an outside guy, but he excels in the slot, and I think it's okay. We just got back from Carson Wentz rehabbing for 9 months. Do you really want him to take the game into his own hands and have to run the ball? Just give him somebody he can rely on and get the ball out of his hands. You don't want him getting into dangerous situations early. Let him build some confidence. Let him get into some rhythms. I think a very underrated talking point that people haven't been saying is how well Carson can adjust at the line of scrimmage and take advantage of matchups. And like you said, Doug is good at game planning, and I feel like he'll be able to get Jordan in space and he'll be able to get Nelson in space. But if Carson sees a matchup he likes where he has to move Nelson out of the slot or into the slot or vice versa, I think he's smart enough to do that. And that's something You really didn't see with Foles commanding the line of scrimmage as much, but I'm not too worried about it. You're basically getting a second coach back on the field, and out of any coach/quarterback combination in the NFL to bring a guy like Jordan in on a short notice and hopefully contribute a little bit coming into this next week and playing it safe for Carson, really, I trust this regime, and I think it's a no-risk situation. You're going to get him at a low cost. He's been a free agent since he got cut by New England. I don't see any downside to it, really. I mean, Nelson might be outside a little more than you would like, but you want Alshon back.
Dude, he's
going
to be able to make plays there. I mean, that's the thing, too.
He is. I'm watching this Tampa game.
He's great
over
in the slot.
He makes plays.
Yeah,
he's making plays outside.
He's explosive. I love how his route running has come along the past year, the past 2 years, really, now heading into this year. He can play on the outside now. Nelson Aguilar can be a starting outside receiver. This isn't a bad situation if Aguilar has to play on the outside. He can play on the outside for the rest of his career, and I think he could have a really, really good career. I just think he can be elite a lot of the time inside, especially on third downs. I think that's what he was last year. So I do still want him involved down there a whole lot. But again, I trust him now to make plays everywhere on the field, and they're not going to just keep him on the outside. There's going to be times he's in the slot, but when Jordan Matthews is in there sometimes, they're going to call Aguilar around in motion. They're going to use him everywhere now, and Matthews actually allows them to do even more with Aguilar because he doesn't have to just play inside or just outside when they get Alshon back and Matthews. So if you're telling me that the Eagles have Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, Nelson Aguilar, and Jordan Matthews, and Dallas Goedert to work with as Carson Wentz's pass catchers, this is still a really, really good situation regardless of not having Mike Wallace back. And right now it's not ideal because Alshon is still hurt and you're not using Goddard a whole lot. And Matthews is going to have to knock off some rust too. He hasn't played really. He didn't play a lot last year and he hasn't played yet this year. But You know, I'm for the decision. I think it was a necessary move right now for the Eagles to make. And you know, Carson Wentz is going to make plays regardless. This offense is going to come back up because Carson Wentz is going to be on the field. So I think we're buying way too much into, or we're just kind of overreacting way too much to this signing. I think it's a strong signing. It's solid. There's not a lot of risk to it. And it's a player that knows the scheme. And, you know, you mentioned it. This is the first time Matthew's going to be an offense where he's not the focal point. I mean, you have Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, and Zach Ertz to worry about, plus the three-headed monster when Sproles and Ajayi are healthy, when eventually these guys get healthy. So more so mid-season when they're really ready to take off. Matthews has never had this kind of, you know, lack of pressure to make plays. And I think that's going to help him.
For sure. We saw it when he had Doriel Green Beckham and a very less confident Nelson Agholor as his other pass catching options. Defenses were able to just key in on him and Ertz, and they took away everything. And it made life hell for, at the time, Sam Bradford and then Carson Wentz. So now that he has playmakers around him, getting him in space, I think is going to be good. Just, you're not going to have to rely on him to be your number one receiver. You know you're not going to have to put him outside. You're going to put him where he's natural, where he's confident, and he's playing with his best friend. Like, I don't think people understand how close Carson and Jordan Matthews were. Liam Jenkins of PSN wrote a brilliant article about their friendship, how close they are with their religion and everything. That's huge. Those guys take that seriously, and you know how tight-knit this locker room is. So to bring in a character guy like Jordan, who meshes so well with your quarterback.
Right, and he's perfect for the locker room.
Oh, yeah. He's a veteran player who the team likes, who unfortunately they had to move to get a necessary piece to go to the Super Bowl in Ronald Darby. And look how things come full circle that he's going to be back with the team. I just think it's a great story to have. He's Carson's best friend. It's going to work well.
And guess what? We're going to get back one of the coolest celebrations in the NFL with the all business. I mean, if they connect on a touchdown and that comes back, that's going to be great.
I think you have to run the exact same play that they ran against Cleveland the first play of the game.
That'd be sweet.
And try and score a touchdown on it just for a cool story. But
well, that's the cool part of it. Again, like I said earlier in the show, is that this is, I mean, it's fitting that Jordan Matthews was there for Wentz's first game, scored his first touchdown with him, and now he's back to try to help him get back from that torn ACL. I just think it's a fitting story, and he's just a great teammate, and he's great for this locker room. I just look back to when they extended Sam Bradford before they made the trade up for Carson Wentz, and it was looking like, okay, Sam Bradford's going to be the future for the next couple years at least. So what do Zach Ertz and Jordan Matthews do? They stay with Sam Bradford in Oklahoma. They work on their chemistry together. I mean, Jordan Matthews was a leader on this team, and not only did he do that with Ertz and Sam Bradford, but he was Nelson Aguilar's guy in his rookie year, his first 2 years, bringing him along as well. So he's a leader on this team as well. I mean, I don't know why people don't like this situation on and off the field.
You just hear the same stigma about Jordan. He can't play outside. He doesn't have the greatest hands in the world, and
I mean,
he's going
these are,
to take.
These are true points, but
yeah, no,
again,
I'm
let's
not
put it
saying
in a microscope. What this decision, what this move is, right? I mean,
yeah, everybody's looking at it in a vacuum. They're not comparing it to anything besides what we've seen, and that's how it is. It's recency bias. You remember what the last thing that you saw, but can people realize that we just saw Kamar Aiken being a focal point of this offense against Tampa?
I think he had, what, like 7 targets? I mean, he was
and
getting
was
the ball, and that's
too
a problem.
Many for
how can
Kamar
that,
Aiken, a guy who they
not have an
before
issue with
the
that?
Season started and then brought back a week later.
Right.
I don't see how people have an issue with that, but we have an issue with bringing back a guy who has played well with Carson Wentz. Doesn't make much sense to me. But going back to my original point, who are you going to find in week 2? Maybe by the trade deadline if Jordan doesn't work out, if things don't get better, if Alshon takes a little bump in his recovery, then yeah, maybe you have to look outside at a key piece that you might have to add. But in week 2, going into week 3, you're not going to find much better options than Jordan Matthews at this
current
point.
Imagine how mad everyone would have been if they brought in someone like Kenny Britt. Just saying.
That, yeah, exactly.
Like,
do you really
Eagles
want
fans,
him?
You want, is that what you want? Do you want Kenny Britt right now? I mean, like, we're getting a guy that had low-end wide receiver one numbers. And yes, were they inflated? In my opinion. But again, we got this guy off the streets week three because we have nobody healthy. I mean, let's just, I mean, this is a, we're so lucky that this guy was available and that he just happened to be with this team already in this offense. I mean, come on, like, again, what if it was Kenny Britt? I don't want
or
Kenny
Dez
Britt.
Dez Bryant. Did you really want Dez Bryant?
Like, no, come and that on, would have never cool. worked. And again, it's not a, this isn't a long-term move where, oh my gosh, we need a number two to go with Alshon Jeffrey for the future. No, we still have Alshon Jeffrey coming back. We have Nelson Agholor and Zach Ertz and eventually Dallas Goedert when he gets going. And it's not like Mike Wallace and Mac Hollins are never going to play football again. This is a short-term decision to help this Eagles team in the regular season right now until they get healthy. And even then, if Aguilar's playing well on the outside, maybe they keep Jordan Matthews in the slot throughout the remainder of the season. But again, it's like this isn't a move where 2016, we need a number one wide receiver, and this is the guy. I mean, this is who we brought in. It's short-term help, again, to help Carson Wentz. It's all, and if it only does one thing, and it not helps knock off the rust for Carson Wentz in these next 2 weeks. And Jordan Matthews catches, you know, some safe passes, but Carson Wentz really gets going, and Matthews is a key part of that. Then it was the right move. If that's all it does, and he doesn't do a lot more, if it helps Carson Wentz and it makes him comfortable coming back, then it was worth it for me. So I think it was a good move, and looks like Jordan Matthews is going to be back, whether people like it or not, because I saw, Gino, a report from 97.5, the Fanatic, that he was seen taking a physical and getting an MRI at a local doctor's office in Philadelphia. So, I mean, it looks like if he passes that, they're probably going to end up signing him.
Yeah, that's exactly the report I saw as well. And the reason New England cut him originally is because they wanted to have some IR flexibility going into
right.
the season, so they didn't want to have to keep a guy with a soft tissue injury on the IR. So
seems like
they...
he's healthy, though, so...
Yeah, I know, and that's
which is exactly
thing.
What they need. They need help right now, week three. I mean, this is what, like, they need help this Sunday.
Yeah, who are you going to bring in that is going to be able to learn the playbook as fast as a guy who already knew the playbook
the only other
a year
guy
and a
Macklin.
Half ago?
That's really it. It was Macklin or Matthews to me, and I'm glad that they made one of those calls. And, you know, I know some people, they don't like the reunion ideas, but this made sense as a football decision as well. Not just a cool moment for Eagles fans and for the team getting Wentz's best friend back, but this made sense on the football field as well. Coming up next, we're going to wrap up the show. I got a bone to pick with Jim Schwartz and the media, so we'll finish up the show like that right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. But first, I want to talk to you guys about swap.com. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand new clothes? I mean, I end up, you know, just you try to buy Nike athletic wear or new shoes, that ends up costing you at least $50 depending on where you shop. Why do we buy new kids clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are washed each year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel really good about. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail prices on your favorite brands. Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Special offers for our listeners: get 35% off select items for your first order with the promo code LOCKEDON. Plus, find new deals every day on swap.com's homepage. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Eagles fans around the country and the globe. I see you guys downloading in Australia, New Zealand. I know you guys are out there listening in to me and Gino. We're going to wrap up the show now right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, Tuesday, September 18th edition, with just one more opinion, Gino, that I had. And you know, we talked about this on the recap show, you know, Eagles losing to Tampa Bay. We talked about the secondary and the problems they had with those Tampa Bay weapons. And we called out Jim Schwartz, too, though. This was a thing not a lot of people were talking about. Jim Schwartz, I feel like, kind of got a free pass this week, and he did today in his press conference as well. I think he failed to adjust. I didn't like how off he had his corners the entire game. He doesn't ever have his corners shadowing other receivers and, you know, fine. If your mentality is I want to keep two corners on the same side throughout the game, Sure, for the most part, if you want to stick with that, stick with that. But I don't like coaches that refuse to adjust regardless. And even so, if it's we got to have Darby follow Deshaun just for this game. I mean, to me, I think you should be willing to do anything if it's a better matchup for your defense, if it means more success for your team. And I feel like they could have had Darby maybe shadowing Deshaun. I feel like they should have had the corners closer to the line of scrimmage because Mike Evans and Deshaun and Godwin were just killing them, and O.J. Howard with the comeback routes and just taking what the defense was giving you, which is 10 yards off the ball. And then today, the media, they have a rare opportunity to meet with Jim Schwartz. Doesn't happen very often. And they didn't really ask him anything about it. I would have asked him about not adjusting. Do they consider maybe moving Sidney Jones on the outside eventually? And it's no knock to Jalen Mills. I think Jalen Mills has a role with this defense in the future, and it was only one game. And people know I'm very high on Jalen Mills. I think he can be a starting corner on the outside. But there are limitations to his game and to Ronald Darby's game that Sidney Jones simply does not have. And me and you have both been watching back the game today. And Sidney Jones, not only did he wash up, you know, Humphreys like he was supposed to, but even when Chris Godwin got inside, he was blanketing him as well. Sidney Jones had another really strong game on the defense, and he was one of the rare few players on that defense that had a good game. It's just, I think Schwartz didn't answer a lot that I was looking for in the secondary today.
Yeah, you know what this game kind of reminded me of? I was just clicked in my head about 5 minutes ago. Do you remember, you might not have it, it was about 2-3 years ago, it was a Color Rush game. I think it was the Color Rush game that, it was the Bills versus Jets, the colorblind game. Do you remember when they,
remember that vividly, yes.
Yeah, so I just remember Gilmore and Darby getting torched all game. And it was by Ryan Fitzpatrick, funny enough, by the Jets. And just they didn't adjust anything. And I just remember Darby getting up, shaking his head, and he did the same exact thing this game. He just kept getting beat, and they really weren't changing anything. And
they were just assuming they were going deep every time. How many times was Darby just aiming, running for the hills every time Mike Evans looked like he was breaking up the seam, but then he would instantly just grab him with that comeback and nail him for 15 yards every play.
You're exactly right. And he said it today that we had him the first time it was a man and they just read it wrong, and then they had him again in a zone and they just didn't tackle well. And I don't think he really did enough to change anything. And I like Jalen Mills a lot. I love his confidence, but like we've said time and time again, he has his physical limitations. His hips are tight. He doesn't have the fastest feet. And when you're going against a guy like Deshaun Jackson, that's what you need. And we are always complaining about keeping Nelson in the slot on offense, but at what time do you move him outside? And then also what time on the defense do you move Sidney Jones outside? Because
exactly, this guy's going to be cornerback one, you know, like he to me is already almost better than Darby and Jalen Mills.
He is a legitimate corner. There were times when
the hype is real.
Yeah, he definitely is my favorite corner on the team at the moment. And you see it, like even when there's balls caught underneath, he doesn't lunge at the tackle. Like he keeps a sound base. He blanketed, like you said, Chris Godwin and Adam Humphries in the slot. I feel like you have to try him outside sometimes. Like, I know Mills is good, but you see him get beat, and it's like, at what point do you just cut your losses? Like, even if it's for, like, a quarter of a game. Like, if it's the fourth quarter, you're like, okay, maybe we got to try something different because he keeps getting burned time and time again. Like, you have to try something. And, I mean, you saw that combination in the preseason with Jones outside and then bring Maddox on the inside. He's good as well. Like, you have so many weapons. Just don't limit yourself. This is a time when you have the luxury to mess things around on that defense, really. You have time to go into dime. You have time to screw around with some nickel. Like, you can change things up for one time as a defensive coordinator. Like, you're not limited by having no Jordan Hicks and having to keep Corey Graham in the whole game. Like, you're not limited by having Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams. You have weapons on defense. Like, you always talk about weapons on offense. You have good weapons on defense. And
I get it's your way, but, I mean, just there's got to be times where you adjust and you switch things up and just try and see if it sticks. And putting Jalen Mills closer to the ball to help against the run in the slot while, you know, not getting beat. He's less exposed inside, honestly, than on the outside. And it's not a knock on Jalen Mills, who Jim Schwartz loves, but Sidney Jones, it's more a pro, it's a plus, a compliment to Sidney Jones that he, to me, is going to be an elite corner, and I want that guy on the outside. You know, it's just, this is more so a thing about Jim Schwartz, because again, whether it's in the slot or it's at safety or still on the outside next year if Darby leaves, I think Mills has a role on this defense. It was more so just a failure to adjust by Jim Schwartz, and it's a continuing frustration I have with coaches that I think it's a major weakness when they're so into their ways and they don't like to try to change things up just because this is the way I coach and this is the way I'm going to do it. And I feel like Jim Schwartz could learn from Doug Peterson.
Yeah, sometimes you have to swallow your pride. And I mean, Michael Kiss tweeted out Sidney Jones' stats through the first two games that he's had 59 snaps in coverage, right. 7 targets, 4 receptions for 18 yards with a 62.2 QB rating. He's allowed 18 yards. Think about who he's gone up against
in the
slot.
And he's never played in the slot before. Either.
And he's never played that position, which is crazy to think about. He's gone up against Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley, Adam Humphries, and Chris Godwin, who aren't number one receivers, but they are solid slot receivers.
And there were times Deshaun Jackson was also in the slot on Sunday, and Mike Evans. There were a couple times I saw where Sidney Jones had to cover those guys too, and he has this, it's not only just his physical abilities, but it just seems like he knows what the guy is running, what route he's running the minute he comes out of his break. And he, you know, even where Mills and Darby get beat with the double moves a lot, Jones just has that awareness, whereas I trust that he can read what the receiver is doing. It just seems like he always is one step ahead.
Definitely. I mean, there's a reason he was projected to be picked in the top 10, top 15 last year.
He might have been picked out of Marshon Lattimore in that 2017
draft. It was argued that he was better than Lattimore at times. I mean, I saw them one and the same. They were both good. He just had less injuries than Lattimore, which was making him rise up the board. But he has the ability to be cornerback one, and you've seen it. You saw at Washington, he is good. He is a legitimate corner. He's doing things in the slot that nobody thought he could do. At some point, you have to just try something different. Even not even with Sidney Jones, why couldn't we have thrown Rasul Douglas in there for a couple snaps? Like, put him up against Mike Evans, a guy who is big. Rasul Douglas is a big body, and he has great ball skills. Why not try something different? You just kept putting a square peg in a round hole with Jalen Mills, and it was just driving me bananas, and I've watched the tape twice now, and it was just driving me crazy.
Right, like, I like Jalen Mills, too, though.
I do, too.
I think people
were
a little
confident.
Bit hard. They like to be very hard on Jalen Mills on Twitter. And so, like, I like him as a player. But again, when you're playing 10 yards off the ball and you don't have the closing speed that Sidney Jones or Darby have, for Mills, a lot of the time, it's just more difficult to get back, and especially when you get beat on those double moves. It's just, I really like him, and I want him on this defense. He's a leader. I like how he tackles. He is aggressive. But it's again, this is more a praise of Sidney Jones and the abilities that he has that no one else on this team has. So
I agree. I love Jalen Mills too, but you always have to go back to why was he a 7th-round pick, and why was Sidney Jones projected in the top 10? Because Jalen Mills has those limitations.
Yeah, I think the ideal scenario is eventually Mills takes over one of those safety spots.
I completely agree.
Because I think Maddox, honestly, eventually would be a better option in the slot. I mean, I think Mills can play. I think this year I would like to see Mills inside. I think you might max out the strength of your defense with Jalen Mills inside and Jones on the outside. But eventually, when McLeod's not here or Malcolm Jenkins, my ideal scenario is Maddox inside, Sidney Jones on the outside, then either Darby or Douglas, and you have Jalen Mills in the backfield. I think that's a scenario, because then you can use Mills in all the other ways that you want to. Then you don't have to worry about him going up against their number one wide receiver. You can bring him down in the box and go up against the run and play aggressive like he likes to do. You know, there's just, you can not only do more with Jalen Mills, but you can also hide some of his limitations. So Some interesting stuff here today, Gino. Again, I can't believe the Eagles lost a game two days ago, because we've had so much stuff to talk about. I really haven't even felt the effects of it.
I know. It's kind of crazy that this, like I said to start the show, that this last 48 hours has been one hell of a roller coaster for week two. We came down off of that low of that loss against a team that I'm sick of losing to, in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Getting our ginger Jesus back in Carson Wentz. Who knows what's going to come tomorrow? So,
absolutely,
it's fun. They always keep you on your toes. I love always my do. Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. That's all I could say.
Fly, Eagles, fly. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Follow Gino on Twitter at Gino_LOE. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE. Please subscribe to the podcast. Leave a comment, rate, review. Anything that helps us with the feedback of the show, we always appreciate you, the fans, listening in, and we hope you guys have enjoyed the coverage so far this season. What has been a crazy 2 weeks to start off this 2018 Eagles season. We'll be back tomorrow for the crossover edition of the podcast with Locked On Colts. Until then, for Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase, signing off. We'll see you tomorrow, and let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.